Welcome to Connection Point, GovConnections podcast series focusing on strategies and trends in infrastructure, green IT, mobility, data management, and much more. I am your host, James Hilliard, and today's podcast features Tony D'Ancona. He is back with us. Tony is the VP of Services for the entire PC Connection family of companies, including GovConnection. He is also on the VMware Tech Advisory Board. That really makes him top of our list of go-to guys to talk about server virtualization. And Tony, where I want to approach this was this whole Go Green initiative. More and more people are looking at ways to save the environment and be a good steward of the environment while still being able to do all the work that we do. We know the data centers, rack rooms, they take up a lot of power and energy and things like that. So server virtualization pretty much is mainstream now. I think from the smallest mom and pops to the largest organizations, some type of server virtualization is probably taking place in most of those types of shops. Is green and going green getting more of the conversation from CIOs and IT managers and directors these days?
Absolutely. It's kind of an easy discussion to talk about if when I consolidate a couple hundred servers to 30 or 40 servers that there's certainly savings because of all the stuff I'm taking out and how few devices I need to maintain. But one of the things that's important is in power and cooling these spaces, there's really a 3x benefit in consolidating, because for the power that goes into the data center, only 1/3 of that power is actually used to power up the equipment like the servers and storage. 1/3 of the power goes in cooling all that stuff that you've just powered up, and another 1/3 goes to maintaining with humidity and all the management tools around that power. So really, anytime we can reduce the number of devices that we're putting into a data center, we're really getting a 3x benefit for doing that. So when you're talking about space and cooling and power, It's very green, you know, not only for the dollar green, but for the environmental green that people are looking at.
Tony, I've heard from some folks recently that they've been doing some virtualization projects, but run into a couple speed bumps here and there. And I think as virtualization projects get more complicated, you do have more organizations that are finding some of these speed bumps that they have to overcome. Has that been the experience you've had with some customers? And if so, what are one or two tips that people can look for to avoid running into these speed bumps and stalling out on part of their virtualization journey?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing right now is there's lots of customers that have been able to get through that virtualization journey pretty quick and are doing pretty well. But we've also found lots of customers right now with very large, you know, server infrastructures that they have slowed down a little bit because they've done the easy servers or some of the low-hanging fruit. But when it comes time to now going to that second wave or those mid-tier types of servers, it's harder to try to figure out the right CPU utilization, memory utilization, disk, I/O, and the peak time that any of those peak characteristics are happening. So what's happening is they start combining the wrong machines together, and they start to have some performance problems and some complaining from users. So one of the things that we think is important is that they really are able to characterize those characteristics within their organization, and that really helps them to create that balance between the virtual machines that they consolidate on the server, and that's typically what we find helps a lot of customers. On the other side is because they're virtualizing and just love the benefits of virtualization, they end up provisioning servers quicker than their change management systems can address them. And certainly talking to customers about some kind of a life cycle management tool to help manage the virtual machine deployments and actually the decommissioning of machines when they're done is very important, and that also is helping our customers.
Let me ask you this, Tony. As we probably agree, server virtualization, pretty mainstream, especially as you were mentioning, some of the low-hanging fruit for most organizations. What should people be thinking about looking 12 months, 18 months down the road? Anything on that horizon that's going to be a big change for server virtualization or things people need to be focusing on planning for?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion lately about the cloud, and I do think all of what a lot of the vendors are doing with the cloud technology is great. But really, what people need to be creating is a dynamic architecture, right? An architecture that allows them to move resources around to where there's excess capacity, right? And whether that means setting up a robust primary data center, but it's very important to create that disaster recovery center, right? And where virtualization really revolutionized the way we think about disaster recovery, it's important to create an environment where you could share resources not only in your primary data center, but your secondary data center. With some customers, what we've done is we've actually moved test and development from their primary data center to their secondary data center, and we're using the servers that are at their DR site, you know, during normal business when there isn't a disaster going on. But certainly when a disaster does happen or something forces them to move to the other side, having all those servers there, we can certainly stop doing test and development while the disaster is going on and use those servers for DR. So the ability really to create that that architecture that allows you not just to have a bunch of servers standing around doing nothing is really complementary to the whole virtualization.
As we see more companies getting deeper into certain virtualization projects, it seems to me that there's a benefit out there for working with professional services teams, because companies can then benefit from what has been learned by someone else that walked that path before them. Are you getting more interest in professional services these days as people take on more of these complicated virtualization projects?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of it starts with the whole model of the PDIM, right? Really the planning and the assessment, then going to the design and implementation. And really with our services, we're able to help, with that assessment. And whether or not, we're helping with customers that even have been virtualizing for a year or more in their environment and starting again with our tools to go in and really look at the characteristics of what's in their environment today, but then allowing us to help them through that period of implementation that needs to be done, because generally there isn't a lot of customers out there that have these people waiting for a project to come on so that they could do the work. But allowing us to come in, help them with that implementation so that there's knowledge transfer being done and we're setting up the environment with best practices, right? So understanding, do we create a large LUN and put a whole bunch of virtual machines in that, or do we create smaller LUNs, with smaller amount of virtual machines? But really, having someone who does this and does this where we can transfer knowledge to the customers has been very beneficial to a lot of our customers.
Yeah, absolutely makes perfect sense to me, Tony. Hey, look, we're out of time for this episode. Thanks again to Tony D'Ancona for joining us. If you want more information about server virtualization or any other IT services or offerings, you can contact your GovConnection account manager, or you can simply go online over to govconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard. Thanks again for joining us.